This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon talking about the Douglas County Fair and about 4-H, FFA, the market auction, and all kinds of related activities. Sam Lee in here, I would say old friend, but maybe I'll just stick with friend or I'd get in trouble. I don't know. I think you remain older than me. I'm not sure. And Rebecca Melton, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
And we've got a couple of the young people involved in 4-H and FFA. Joe, why don't you just introduce yourself real quick?
My name is Joseph Buckles, and I am a retired chapter president from the Oakland FFA. This is my seventh year raising market pigs.
Did you say retired?
Yeah, I actually just graduated high school, and I was the president during the school year, and now I pass that presidency along to a different member.
Sam, are people allowed to retire when they're under 20?
No. They may think they retired, but they're still stuck helping and doing everything they've always done. So.
And who else do we have with us today?
Hi, my name is Paul Kircher. I'm part of the Colliding Rivers 4-H group, and I show a market steer.
All right. We're going to talk more to those guys in a moment. But, Sam, kind of talk about how the whole program works. I think one of the things maybe in this day and age, not everybody even knows what is 4-H and FFA.
So 4-H and FFA are set up as educational pieces. The 4-H is countywide and is dealt with through the Extension Service. The FFA is actually a co-curricular activity that's done through the high school. So a youth must be at least in ninth grade and associated with a high school to be in an FFA chapter, whereas 4-H, they can start out as young as 10 years old, and I believe it's fourth grade is the starting age. Specifically, what we're talking about today, though, are the animals that are raised to be butchered for human use, and we call it the market auction program, where these kids are raising animals, fattening them up, getting them ready to butcher, and on Saturday at 4 o'clock, we put on a heck of an auction for these kids so they have a specialized place to be able to sell the animals they put so much time into.
Now, you've been around this for years. What's your role this year?
This year, I'm stepping back, not retiring, don't worry. I'm stepping back and I'm handing the baton over to Rebecca Melton, who's nice enough to step up since I'm a little wore out and tired after I think it's been 14 or 15 years I've been running the market auction committee.
So, Rebecca, how'd you get talked into this?
By your old friend.
So, what's your background in 4-H and FFA activities?
Yeah, so I grew up through 4-H. I was also an FFA member. I didn't necessarily participate in the market auction program, but I participated in a lot of other programs as well. I feel like I'm a lifelong volunteer. I'm also a Rotary member. I'm our president-elect of the Roseburg Rotary, and this is kind of my bigger service project for that, and really help take on this community partnership that we have. That Rotary helps promote the hard work that these kids have put forward throughout the year.
And Rebecca's being modest. She has children coming up through the program, and they're enjoying and utilizing the program through more than just the market auction. They're also doing other projects too, which keeps Rebecca a little bit busy, but hopefully tied into 4-H and FFA with us for another 20 years or so.
Now, during Fair Week, there is so much going on, but, I mean, a lot of these kids are essentially living there all week, right?
Yes, and a lot of adults, too.
So, Kyle, the kids have to care for the animals at the fair, and that's not just showing up once and dumping them feed or water. They have to go throughout the day keeping pens clean because these are exhibits that folks come to see. And when you interview the young men here in a minute, I'm sure they can tell you how much work it is to keep an animal at fair. And you never know what you're going to run into at fair depending on the weather. I remember years we've had lightning storms. We had animals worried and scared. We've had heat stroke problems when it's been 110. So these kids really have to hustle the week of fair besides the time they've put in beforehand.
So, Joe, for you, what are you doing out there this week?
So, yeah, I'm raising market pigs. I actually have a market pig and both a carcass pig. So I have shown both of them already, but I will show again tomorrow.
So are you pretty much out there all week?
Oh, yeah. I'm out there basically 24/7. I do go home every single night, go and freshen up, you know. But I do basically kind of live at the fair all day and stuff and help keep the barns clean and help keep my animals alive.
So, Paul, what about you? What are you doing out there this week?
So, I got my market steer, and I'm done showing for the week until the auction on Saturday. But, yeah, I still have to be going in every so often, cleaning out the pens, giving them water. And I got barn duty, you know. We got to go in there for an hour and clean out the pens, sweep the aisles, make sure everything's nice, and so that the public can enjoy our exhibits that we've put out for them.
So how long have you been involved with animals and 4-H and all this stuff?
Well, I started in fourth grade. The earliest you can start, I started showing pigs. And then when I was in eighth grade, I switched over to showing a steer. And I've been doing that for 3 years now.
And Joba, how about you? How long have you been involved?
So I've been showing pigs ever since the sixth grade. So I started a little bit late. But four of which I've been through the FFA program, and the rest have been through 4-H.
So do you come from like a family with sort of an agriculture background?
Yeah, so I actually live on my family's farm. We hay every year. We have our own cattle that we lease out and stuff. And yeah, I've been living there ever since and just enjoying doing farm activities.
How big of a farm? How much acreage?
Just over 100 acres.
And Paul, what about you? Are you out on a farm as well?
We don't have a huge property, but we get to use our neighbor's land quite a bit. So I have a couple head of cow out there that I can run, and yeah, I enjoy it out there.
What do you like the most about doing all this?
Trick question.
Yeah. I actually like the experience that I'm getting. You know, one day I can have a farm of my own that I'd know how to run, because I've been doing it for a few years now, and obviously I still have a lot more to learn, but I have learned quite a bit, so...
Well, and Sam, isn't that one of the ideas learning these things as a younger person and then moving forward with all that knowledge?
Exactly. Whether the youth today are taking this knowledge and going directly into agriculture or other parts of the world and doing things, the teaching and the things that they've learned, not only about care and responsibility, but also about how meat and produce are produced and things are taken care of, gives an insight to people whether they stay in agriculture or not. Of course, we hope all these kids go on to have their own ranches and farms and produce their own animals, but that's becoming a smaller and smaller percentage.
So, Rebecca, Sam mentioned that you've got kids involved in this. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I have two little kids, one that is 4-H age that sells and raises lambs, and so she sold a market lamb back in June through our program. And then I have a younger daughter that just turned 6, and she is a clover bud in 4-H, which clover buds is set up for kindergarten through third grade youth that can't yet handle officially livestock, but they can work with small animals like rabbits and poultry, and they do a lot of science and just really discovery and hands-on learning.
So it sounds like while the kids have a lot of things to do, as a parent, you've got a lot of work to make sure things are moving in the right direction, too.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of equipment that kids need for this. There's a lot of meetings. There's a lot of fun to be had, lots of social interactions. And altogether, it teaches a lot of responsibility for kids. It teaches, you know, just so many different life skills that, whether or not they're applied directly to agriculture in the future, it definitely transpires into the work environment.
Now, do you guys have a farm or property as well?
Oh, yeah, we live in the country and have some small acreage and just really enjoy that. But not all of our youth in our programs have that acreage or that background. A lot of our high school FFA programs have land labs, where kids that live in town or do not have property can keep and raise their projects. And a lot of our 4-H youth keep their animals either at a 4-H leader's home or at their cousin's house or at their grandparents' house or, you know, just at other members' house. And they have to go there every day to take care of those animals. And it becomes almost even a bigger commitment.
Yeah, I would think so, because, I mean, if you walk out the door and there it is, and you walk out to the barn or out to the field, But if you've got to drive even a couple miles or maybe even longer, but yet at the same time, you can have that experience, learn those things, even though your family may live in Hillcrest or mm-hmm. wherever.
Yes. No, it's great to see that this program is open to those kids as well and gives them some other experiences that maybe without this program, they wouldn't have an opportunity to raise an animal for themselves. We even have kids that live in apartments that don't own any pets.
Wow. More when we come back. Rebecca Mountain, Sam Lee, Joe Buckles, Paul Kircher, all in studio talking 4-H FFA. And we'll talk more about the Rotary Market Auction when we come back. The interview podcast after one at 541radio.com on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt later this afternoon, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Republican candidate for Congress, Alex Carlatos, on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. We're talking about 4-H, FFA activities, the Rotary Market Auction. And Sam, I mean, you've done a lot of things with auctions, and one of the things that I've noticed along the way is to get from point A to B, to be ready for an auction, all of that. I mean, there's a lot of paperwork, bookwork, technical stuff, accounting. What do we pay for this? What are we trying to sell it for? Are we going to make any money? How does this all tie in?
So that's where Rotary comes in. Rotary is the parent organization that is in control of the auction, even though you get Rebecca and I as the faces of the auction and Rotary. The Rotary Foundation is what we run all of our funds through. The tricky part with everything is as we come into the auction, yes, it's busy getting auction lineups, where the kids are going to be after we get their placings and their shows and putting all the sale order together. And Becca's been doing that for quite a few years for me. And as we get into the auction day itself, of course, it's always hectic getting all the computers up, getting everything ready to go. But really, the heavy workload comes the day after the auction, when you have to figure out who all to bill for what amounts to what and who and where, and when people split animals, this and that. So there's quite a bit of bookwork to be done to make sure the auction goes on, as well as making sure your spotters are lined up, your auctioneers are lined up. Do we have the venue right? Do we have lights? Do we have sound? Because we started doing something a little different last year, which was we moved out of the pavilion into the beef show ring, which made it a little cooler and a little bit nicer, but we had to kind of rebuild the entire system. And as you can ask all the volunteers that help, it was quite a bit of work, and we're hoping this year the setting up of the arenas and everything will go a little bit smoother. And obviously, as we know, the fairgrounds doesn't have the amount of staff they used to have, so it's falling a lot heavier on volunteers the last 2 years than it has in the past.
So do you remain outside then this year?
Yes, we're still out in the beef ring this year, and by the looks of the weather, thank goodness we stayed out in the beef ring. Now, if it storms and rains, we'll probably wish we weren't, but we'll figure that out on Saturday.
No, we've actually got pretty good weather for the week, the way it goes. So, Rebecca, what are you doing to get ready for all this?
Oh, my goodness. We are planning so many things. We have a great partnership with Glide. FFA alumni has stepped up, and they are preparing for our buyer's barbecue. So we're coordinating with them to get that ready. So for all of our buyers that come, they can go through our steer sale that starts at 4, go to their barbecue, and then come to our hog sale right after. So that takes a lot of logistics, a lot of planning for, like we said, lots of volunteers and hands to make sure everything is set up. Coordinating with all of our sound systems, our networks, our computer systems are up today, our auctioneers are ready, and all of our kids are ready to have a great sale and a great experience.
Now, sometimes if people have maybe been out at the fairgrounds doing other things, I kind of walk by this, and it seems a little daunting about, you know, purchasing an entire animal. What kind of options do people have if they want to help out in some way, but they're like, I don't need that much?
Yeah, so we have lots of different options, actually. Some of our buyers choose to, of course, process the meat and either consume it for themselves, gift it to employees or family, and they do have that option of sending that here locally. and knowing where their animal came from. But they also have some other options. They can sell the animal back to Rotary at a wholesale price, and then we can find a wholesale buyer for that animal, so they don't have to go home with any meat if that is not what they're looking for. And that may be a better option for them for their tax breaks and such of that nature. And then we also have some buyers and supporters that maybe don't want to purchase a full animal or don't want to have quite that level of investment, but would like to do what's called an add-on donation or a general donation. So Roseburg Rotary does take general donations that then we apply to back to our kids, particularly those kids that either don't sell at a rate that's average of what our other kids are, so we help boost those prices. Or they can also do what's called an add-on donation, and that is adding an additional price to an individual's sale item, so their sale hog or steer.
So a lot going on, and let's talk to Joe again. What's it like to be in the midst of all this when it happens?
It's a very exciting process, getting your animal ready, going out and talking to the buyers and the barns and stuff, and meeting a bunch of different people because it's Saturday night. There's a lot of people at the fair, but I know I'm trying to get my animal perfect. I'm trying to get me perfect, but when I'm out there, I'm just having a great time and happy to meet all the buyers.
So how do you define perfect? What are you trying to achieve?
So I'm trying to make my pig look the best that it can.
But it's a pig.
There's still a lot of work that goes into actually making a pig look good. You got to give it a bath. You got to comb its hair. You got to condition it right. You got to make it look presentable. You don't want a bunch of poop on it because that just doesn't look good. So you want to make your pig look the best it can.
There you go. Right here on the radio, you now know how to make a pig look beautiful.
Pig Grooming Hints by Kyle Bailey, coming up at 5 p.m.
Another new feature here on the radio. Paul, what about you? What's it like being around all this stuff on Saturdays?
Well, on Saturday night, I know both Joe and I help out a lot moving animals around and just helping out where we can. So it's pretty exciting getting a lot of work in there. A lot of volunteer, but yeah, it's a lot of fun, pretty wild, crazy, a lot of stuff going on, and it's just, yeah.
So if somebody is, somebody's got a kid, grandkid, that they're thinking about, why should they consider getting involved in the program?
I know some people who buy their, grandkids animals, even that's a good thing to do, or it just helps support them out, get them started.
Joe, what's an advantage, or maybe what's one thing you've learned from doing all this that you probably wouldn't have learned otherwise?
I've learned so much that it's hard to just pick one thing. I would say knowing how to care for an animal and nutrition and feed is a huge thing, because you're not just feeding just random feed. You actually have to go out, and there's a science to it. There's supplements to it. I know I work at the co-op, the Douglas County Farmers Co-op, and there's a whole bunch of different show feeds that you can pick from, and I know a lot of people have questions about them. There's a whole science to it, and just knowing how to take care of your animal, the proper exercise it needs, the proper housing it needs. There's a bunch of different ways that you can care and take for an animal.
As we wrap it up, Sam, final things people ought to know in the last 30 seconds or so about between now and then, and just what goes on.
Come out and support the youth at the Douglas County Fair all week, please. We'd love to see you. I'd love to have you out there. But specifically on Saturday, if you get by the beef show ring and we're having the auction and sale, stay for a few minutes and look at how hard these kids have worked, how awesome they do work in the sale ring, and look at the community support that we have for these programs already. And we'd hope that you'll jump in and help out, or maybe tell somebody about it who will come in and help out, or help a youth get started in any part of this program. It's an excellent program, and that's both why Rebecca and myself have done so much to volunteer and help with it.
All right, that wraps it up. Guys, thanks for coming in this afternoon. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.